Aloha, and welcome to Talk808.com. This is Carol Cox, your host of The Carol Cox Show. Thank you for joining me. Beautiful day here in Hawaii, and I'm hoping that you can join in and listen in, and either live or podcast. We are actually broadcasting live as you listen now. This is an effort, undertaking that we are trying to fine-tune having access. So if you're interested, give Carol a call. That's 808-782-6627, and we can actually host you or your show if you're interested. And so 808-782-6627. To contact Carol by email, go to carol@carolcox.com. That's carol@carolcox.com, or carolcox@gmail.com. Either one will get to me. And we will be talking also about an organization we have, EnviroWatch. Much of the work we do is cross-referenced and related and supported by, or vice versa. And so EnviroWatch.org is where you can see many of the stories that we're printing on. We've had problems with our server, so now we're back up, and we'll be being more active in that, and trying to pin it down and make some contributions, more contributions on the environmental concerns that we have, and observations that we, and things that you help bring to light. And last week we briefly talked about the National Guard and the cousin of someone reportedly of the general, well, the brigadier general, getting free rides aboard the military helicopter. We're still looking into that. And we also reported to you about some of the concerns with pay of the National Guards who were serving there, in delinquency in the payment. And sure enough, we see there's an actual article in the Star Advertiser on the same subject. So it's worth listening to us. We think we know what we're talking about. And we're not going to make any misrepresentations or false statements with intent or anything of that nature. And we don't believe in malice or forethought of having the desire to harm anyone through this process. And if we do, please feel free to contact us and correct us immediately. We are not above being corrected. And it is never intended to impugn the integrity of anyone. And we'll be hosting other show personnel who will be having their own show hosted. And in doing so, the same thing stands there. We're hoping to get out information to you, the listener, and just another angle and another source, so we don't believe that we're competing with anyone or trying to emulate or imitate anyone. We're just simply, when information is brought to us and we've established a well-defined name here and well-established with honesty and integrity, so if you've got that, you can win the trust over the people, and we want to bring to you, because we rely on you to ultimately react to the things that we talk about and that we unveil or bring to your attention, so that we can have a better community and a better way of life here. And Hawaii is a fragile place, very fragile, and rare and endangered species, and mixing with politics and shortage of fundings and misdirecting of fundings. And you understand the whole, we're normal. And so with our little efforts, if you're curious as to what is our intent, I've tried to lay that out to you. And in the future, the same thing. We are simply believe that government should be transparent, should be responsive in a positive way to people, because ultimately, if it's degraded, government itself, then we all lose and the quality of life diminishes. So let's keep that in mind, and talk808.com is where you can find us all the time, or go to carolcox.com and you can find the podcast. So but the actual main website is talk808.com. And we also affiliated with the KWAI1080AM.com. KWAI1080AM.com. And that's where that was a former radio show that we, station we were broadcasting out of. The podcast is still up and the streaming live is still up, and as like ours here is being streamed live. And Barry is doing a pretty good job putting that together. So we'll have cross reference. And so anyway, it's a real nice setup here. Getting my feelings back and getting my bearings and what have you. So bear with me. And we're going to chat about Kahi Lagoon, the DLNR jet ski conspiracy. That's still up and running. The Academy, the DLNR Academy conspiracy. As I promised you, I wanted to share with you a number of emails that we recovered from that lays out the foundation of our concerns that the Department of Land and Natural Resources is nothing but a cesspool of special interests, and led by Suzanne Case and her external friends. We are no longer in control of the management of DLNR. The board is stacked with people that are just simply, really, I question their integrity. And with the jet ski conspiracy there at Kaneohe and Marine Base, Keone Duddle, we'll get him in a minute here, the actual name. But Downing, Keone Downing, who is a board member, Department of Land and Natural Resources board member, and he chimed in, and we thought maybe he would respond by asking for an investigation or at least a minimum an inquiry about this. But instead, he was quick to defend the situation while either not knowing. Shame on him if he did know. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he was just out of loyalty to Suzanne Case and others. He believed that that's more important than doing his job and protecting. This is my opinion and observations. And we reached out for him. We sent him documents. He never responded. But he was quick to have a shoot from the hip and have some response in the press releases and what have you, identifying himself as a board member, Land and Natural Resources board member. And this matter might come, but because of the conspiratorial behavior and the mindset that we are witnessing in action here, on the hands of at the hands of DLNR and Suzanne Case and Robert Farrell, the director or the of the law enforcement division of DOCARE. And I say that, and I think I will. When you have violations or concerns that the public raises with you, your concerns should not be the attitude of, oh, screw it, that's Carol Cox, so we're just going to ignore him, and we're going to just go ahead and we'll go ahead and clean everything up and cover everything up, cover our butts, and we'll go ahead and operate the way we want to, because that's just Carol Cox. It's really, don't pay any attention to him. So there's been a bit of behavior that rise to the level of conspiracy, and you know the definition of a conspiracy. And, you know, an illegal act being contemplated or discussed or debated, and basically two minds meet on it, and one takes an overt act or both takes an overt act of, that's illegal, then, or some action, then it is a conspiracy. And so we expose this jet ski situation, where specifically, if you hadn't caught on, it was aired a bit on KGMB, Hawaii News Now, in the past. But we found that the, and you can go back into some of the older shows and listen to it explain again. But DLNR had a memorandum of agreement with the Marine Corps base to allow them to store, the DLNR to store one boat, small boat, and one, two jet skis for the sole purpose of being able to respond to conservation or environmental violations, or to offer a platform so the officers could, rather than trailering the boats or having to be late in responding, the military gave them some room, afforded them room to store so that they could have a quick response. And what we found out after some tips from various people in the public, that one officer who was responsible for the that operation at jet ski at Kaneohe Marine Base, Patrick Chong Tim, who's a conservation officer, had in fact set it up where he had engaged in signing up for a business, registering a business, and becoming the articles of incorporation that we found that he had a business. And it was called, or is called, I should say, iWaterman Pacific. Now, there is an iWaterman that was involved in this, and we don't know how they got involved. And if you listen to the earlier shows, you'd understand that we have no bones to pick with that company. We're just trying to figure out how the DLNR take a memorandum of agreement between the DLNR and the Department of Land and Natural Resources and the Navy or the Marines, and then convert it into a personal business venture. And so once we broke the story, the story comes out, and instead of punishment, it was clear that we have the Department of Consumer Commerce Affairs Administration, DCCA, state agency. We have the records where Patrick Chong Tim is actually registered as one of the officers or managed by officers or managed, and also the Articles of Incorporation. And then he has Ma'a Academy. So it was clear. So instead of taking the necessary actions, punishment or making an investigation and contacting, instead Robert Farrell engaged in a practice of writing to the Marine Corps and having his men remove the boats, working ahead of any investigation that was coming. So I mentioned that because Mr. Farrell has presented himself as being upstanding, and he's just had nothing but scorn and negative remarks about the existing cadre or staff at DLNR. So you would think if he has said that nearly 50% of the people wouldn't be working for DLNR if it was left up to him, the Doe Care officers, because they just didn't have the ethics or didn't have the drive or and all what have you, the honesty. So we find it rather interesting that in this, the process was, it led to a quiet whisper to assemble men that work for DLNR to go up and remove the excess boats or jet skis that were stored in violation of the agreement, in contravention to the agreement, the memorandum of understanding. And in turn, just quietly and shuttle those jet skis back up to their land-based office in Manana, up in Pearl Ridge or Pearl City, up in the hills there. So that doesn't speak well. I mean, if you're going to present yourself as a man who's going to come in and clean the clock of all these so-called bad officers and officers that were doing wrong or can't be trusted, and you know that mantra that they sing, the do-goods come in on their white horses, but they don't know that we know that their horse is brown, but it's just been painted white for their purpose to hoodwink us. But you know, a skunk is a skunk. You can change the stripes, but you're still a skunk. And so in this case, they the kind of tolerance and the behavior that we witness in this entire process is questionable, and it bothers me in that these are law enforcement people. When I say these are, we're talking about upper level management. If management is willing to take complaints from the public or see a news story, and instead of taking the necessary disciplinary actions against individuals and making sure that they don't do it again, and instead you run and cover it up. Now, I understand it could be embarrassing and you don't want it to occur on your watch, but if you didn't condone it or initiate it or cause it, then you should be quick to be transparent about it while protecting the rights of the accused or the people involved. You want to give them due process. You want to protect their rights and their interests. But you shouldn't be found out there orchestrating a cover-up to work ahead of the media or Carol Cox because Carol Cox is reporting it. You should be asking questions such as, this is a major breach of trust between the military staff and the Department of Land and Natural Resources. We had an official agreement, a memorandum of understanding, spelling out specifics, what can and what can't be done in this process, in this relationship. But instead, you engage in a quiet, undercover, covert behavior to sneak the jet skis off there and then say nothing and work ahead of the media because you find it embarrassing. And so how does one explain, such as Robert Farrell, how does he begin to explain to anyone? I mean, he's not going to bother to talk to us because he has such a disrespect for us anyway, but how does one begin to justify in his capacity that something of an officer who is trusted with a gun, a badge, a state vehicle, and the authority to arrest or intervene on matters that where people can be incarcerated or what have you, how can you allow this individual to stay aboard without punishment, without anything? Now, he may claim that he's punishing, but what we've been getting back from various sources is that they were empowered. They were encouraged. And then the talk of, well, we're going to sue the KGMB for putting my name out there, not my name, but the officer's name, for naming him as part of the owning the business and what have you, and being in violation or inconsistent behavior with the conditions of the MOU. So how, if you're Robert Farrell, how do you proclaim to be going to clean house and run this agency and you know, sensible rules and fairness when you're covering up for some, and then there's one, two, I think maybe two people that he's now trying to fire, at least two, and then others, he goes out of his way to protect them. How does Mr. Farrell begin to present himself as being the great savior or the great do-righter, or who's going to right all of these wrong behaviors at the DLNR? So this jet ski conspiracy, this process, as we had told you, was supposed to take place down at Kaneo Marine Base, but once they got word that I was looking into it and there was a story, they shifted. They shifted their activities from Kaneohe Marine Base in the surrounding waters to Sand Island to avoid being filmed or detected. Now, I have great concerns about that and great concerns about Robert Farrell's integrity because, you see, it's one thing to not have known that your officer or your employer, your subordinate had created a business and was running a business that was in violation of the consent or the MOU between the DLNR and the Marines. It's another thing when you start to act and encourage, and we have video and pictures of Mr. Farrell standing there at Sand Island talking to this very officer, where this officer has a jet ski where there's a trailers of interest and in fact, not registered and things of that nature. How do you purport to be the guy who's going to clean up and hold these officers in this agency to a higher standard? You're going to lead them in a way that there's transparency and truth and what have you. And then you participate and you knowingly. And how is it that he should have blown his stack? And I can't prescribe how he should react to something. But in the scheme of things, when something is legal or illegal or unethical or in violation or contravents the agreements, formal agreements that the state now, this officer, this is just him being entrusted with the functions of the state and the military. It's not his private business. So why didn't Mr. Farrell put a stop to it? Instead, what it involved was iWaterman was also using jet skis in the Marine base and gaining access through that base without going through PMO or Provost Office Marshal Office, and going aboard that base and taking its clients aboard that base under the umbrella of the MOU that has been entrusted with the DLNR. Now, I'm not going to go off on a tangent and say that now the military, someone over there, that its representatives, kind of played this down. But I will tell you, with the place where there's top secret activity occurring and all, do you want a company just driving in and bringing foreign nationals or anyone on base without proper security clearance? So the Marine base, they gave me a response to my FOIA that I filed, because we're still pursuing this. We want to know what motivated the DLNR to allow this to occur, number one. And secondly, what motivated Mr. Farrell and Suzanne Case to turn a blind eye, even when they are brought, it is brought to their attention, even though when it is put out on the news, they did nothing. And in fact, it was we observed and we were told and we saw some behavior consistent with this that. Ignore Carol Cox and ignore the media. We're going to put Patrick Chim Chong up front. And he's going to be the spokesperson for the flotilla, the coming. They wanted that press. And so it's a very strange reaction. It's us against them rather than if we catch someone as citizens observe or brought to our attention that there's behavior that is illegal or unethical on the part of an officer or an employee of the state, then it should be dealt with appropriately. So what happened is that, and as part of this game, this conspiracy, the parties involved, some of the parties involved, went and put in an application after the fact to get a permit to do the things that they were doing that were not allowed and not authorized and not permitted, and it was surely was not permitted under the same MOU. So they put in an application, and this is all orchestrated by the Farrells and DLNR, because here's what it says. Now, this is jet skis. They're going to use a number of vessels, it says. This is an application that iWaterman, the owner of the iWaterman, it was Brian Kialana, is the person in charge. And so they submitted an application. This application must reach the district office at least 30 days prior to the event. Now, the 30 days prior to the event, the application, well, they put this application in, we're told, just recently, and we file a FOIA or UIPA request, Uniform Information Practices Act request, for this application and any permits issued. We received a copy of the application through our request, and were told telephonically that all that existed was the application. No permit was issued. So therefore, the application, we don't know who or what, why it was submitted after the fact. But and this is why we raise the questions. Submit completed application to the Department of Land and Natural Resources. The name of the event, Risk Technician Training. The dates of the event, 2018. And the name and address of sponsoring our organizations, iWaterman LLC 2809, the address. Number of contestants, 30. Number of vessels, 15. 7. Size of boats, 11 foot to 17 foot. Now, the question is, why then are you putting in an application and in there you say the number of contestants when this is nothing to do with contestants? This is a business that hires itself out to train people that is interested, that are interested in having their personnel train on operation of jet skis for security purposes, for safety purposes, whatever the reason, but it is a business. It is not a recreational activity. And so, therefore, the state, when I say conspiracy, the state should have rejected this because it relates directly to the original problem of going to Kaneohe Marine Base. And so how on earth would we even allow that? So I understand that there is this desire on the part of to make the Department of Land and Natural Resources a better place, finer men, finer women, the perfect soldier, the perfect officer. But if you are leading the officers in a way that, in a fashion that lends itself to, oh, there's the media, cover it up, instead of asking, what the hell are you doing? Stand down. We're convening an investigation. Didn't get that. No, go up there and call on one gentleman to come in on his vacation day. One of the officers were assigned, and we understand Farrell had something to do with the signing. Now, Farrell may call up and go, oh, that's inaccurate, and then this is what my response would be. Show me the activities and the actions you have taken to prosecute for this behavior, because the DLNR should respect the secrecy, the importance of a non-porous border at the military base, and he must understand that a formal agreement is a formal agreement. And therefore, in the interest of our country, in the interest of security, in the interest of many things, you just don't willy-nilly modify that or you'll allow your men to modify those agreements. And then at the risk of bringing non-vetted or for people with security clearance issues or people that could be spying. What a perfect way to come in, a couple of spies, and say, I can go on Kaneohe Marine Base and do anything out there. All I have to do is join up for a class and send my people on, and they can go in and take pictures or do whatever spies do or people that gather, you know, information, intelligence. I don't know. But I do know that if you try to go on the base, and rightfully so, they screen you and they want to know your safety and all that. And what about the indemnification of the state? So the people under the banner of DLNR, this company participates and brings its people, are we liable? Are we responsible financially if there's injury or destruction of property or what have you, or cause a catastrophe or some major event causing bodily harm or what have you? why are we and why is he, being Pharaoh, lending himself to this kind of practice? Now, mind you, this is the permit. Why is this a big deal? The permit should say, if they, once you put the application in, and the application is accepted and they decide to give you a permit, you got to introduce your name and you're finding the application for the event permit was received. It'll have that information. The permit authorizes the use of certain waters, specific waters, the fishing and diving tournaments. If it's that, you have to get a recreational permit. If you get whatever company has to be listed in there, prevent harm and damage to our man-made and natural environment, right? All applicable federal laws and state laws and regulations shall be observed. Sponsors shall hold the state of Hawaii harmless from any liability. Sponsorship or sponsor shall provide a certificate of insurance naming the state of Hawaii additional insurance. So if you need all of that, that wasn't part of this application. So unless they allow you to get the permit, then you run out and get the insurance. But what if you can't get the insurance? Is the permit valid? And so that's what I'm just on the top of my head, some of the basic information on this matter. Now, I've talked about this, and I do apologize if it sounds repetitive or repetitious, but the question is, why? Why would Mr. Farrell tolerate the behavior on the part of Patrick Chong Tim that he would deviate from the memorandum of agreement or violate or act in contravention to the conditions of that? So I got some heavily redacted emails back as we requested from the military, and I'm going to share those with you. And not sure if you've been brought into the loop on this DLNR issue. You may want to engage and get them to remove equipment, boats, etc., that exceed what is stated in the MOU. Now, this is written June 15, 2018. Now, there's a clear statement that the military knows that it was wrong and inconsistent with the memorandum of agreement. But not just that, then there should have been the Holy S flying in the airways because asking the question, what do you mean they brought other people here? This is a military base. You don't just walk in and bring your friends just, you know, lollygagging around. So DLNR has an MOU to store one boat, two jet skis, and waterfront ops. This morning, a member of our staff in facilities saw three DLNR boats, two boats, two skis, at environmental, one boat at waterfront ops, and what looked like eye waterman equipment, jet skis, rescue sleds, in building 1623 at waterfront ops. You see, I didn't make this up now. Now, Robert Farrell should have blown his stack, and I can't dictate what he does, but if a man comes to town on his white horse and going to straighten us country bumpkins out and this thugs and muggers and get rid of them all, don't come and witness this and behave like that and then encourage them by going and helping them covering up and telling them work at a hurried pace to cover this up. Because we don't want, well, I don't want my image to be tarnished, and we don't want the governor's image to, because it's election time, and Suzanne Case, we don't want her to be impugned either. So where is this illustrious behavior, Mr. Farrell? Where is this? What kind of behavior is this for a leader? This is what we hired to build and lead these men. Now, this is not my words. These are the words of the military people, or the or consultants, or people that work for the military in their official capacity. So, the subject is jet skis operation. So, let me get out of them. As I say, it's forwarding. This is quite interesting. And somewhat concerning, involves potential misconduct by DLNR employee on Marine Corps Base Hawaii, K-Bay. I downloaded the contents of the Hawaii News Now article, pasted below. Not sure if this qualifies as a CCIR. I believe the gentleman named in the article personally met with someone at the base, and more recently with another person at the base, to garner support for MCBH providing space to store DLNR equipment aboard Marine Corps Base Hawaii. Now, we already have that agreement. Farrell didn't write in a formal agreement asking to modify that. Case didn't ask for agreement. The military didn't have any problem with and requested to modify the agreement. This is behavior on the part of Patrick Chong Tim, the game warden. So, video on iWaterman website shows company employees on the jet skis providing marine rescue training for corporate clients and first responders on Kaneohe Bay. But a closer look at the videos and photos on the website show that the company is using jet skis that were paid for by state taxpayers and are owned by the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Sources said the company, which is headed by a DLNR manager, are using the state equipment free of charge, but are charging clients hundreds of dollars a day to train with them. That's end quote. That was a quote from the email that we recovered from the FOIA, from the military. Now, if they can see all of this after the fact, well, where is Farrell's actions or disciplinary actions or investigation into this, but instead hurried to cover it up? So, all for awareness, I was looking into this from the real estate perspective. DLNR has an MOU to store one boat and one jet ski. We'll skip through that. I also saw that what it looked like, iWaterman equipment, jet ski rescue sleds at the waterfront. This is another person writing. Please take this one for action and work with the activity on the details needed for the request letter. Also, contact NAVFAC to give them a heads up and find out which real estate person will be assigned to this agreement. Let me know. Now, you see, when you use the military property, if you're a private company, and even state, I mean, if there's a formal agreement, this was a rather kind behavior and practice on the part of the military to even extend the courtesy without any real payment or charges against the state. They just gave them that land, and then we violated that, we being the state citizens, through Mr. Patrick Chung Tim. I don't have the current info regarding the cost and requirements to process MCBH. We'll need to get that from NAVFAC. See, there's a cost, and yet they didn't go through that process, didn't go take those necessary steps. The official request should be something more formal than this text message. It's difficult to ascertain whether the state DLNR is officially requesting this. From the text below, there are indications that it could be from a private security guard firm, parentheses, American Guard Services, or maybe from a training course program that serves federal, state, and local government clients. iWaterman.com is mentioned. Who do you want to contact NAVFAC about this? Since a blank left, I'm not sure if anyone has been assigned to MCBH real estate projects, or whether blank decides as new ones come in. Now, how about that? You heard that American Guard Services? Now, what does American Guard Services have to do with anything? Well, I'll tell you a little tidbit. Mr. Patrick Chung Tim, the game warden, was or is or still is or affiliated with American Guard Services at one time. We don't know the current status. But again, why would he be putting American Guard Services into the fold when it's a matter of official duty of his to go there under the banner of a MOU between the DLNR and the state and the military? Would you be able to assist in getting a rough estimate to admin fees, establishing a lease from the NAFAC? So I've messaged to Blank on the cost of establishing a lease with DLNR, you see. So how about that? Farrell didn't get bothered with that. Here we were, as taxpayers, were getting to use. I mean, the property belongs to the taxpayer anyway. But we have a formal agreement, and it was waived, but each agency has to take out of its budget. But the military was kind enough to give a free space, and that was what violated. And now we, as a result of that violation or that affront on the part of Mr. Patrick Chung Tim, then what happens? The situation comes on with American Guard. I lost my page here. American, got my iPad here. Pardon me. But I have a message to this person, the email says, that now we were getting it for free, and now we got to reach into our budget and pay for the leasing of land to store the jet skis and the boat. Farrell didn't behave as if it was a violation or it was an affront or it was offensive behavior on the part of this officer or others that were participating. Instead, hurry up, get them out of there, cover it up, forget Carol Cox and the media. And nobody have any comments. Stand down, no comments, say nothing to the media. While then he engages in ordering an officer to come off vacation and drive all the way to Conejo Marine Base to snatch and sneak out a jet ski and a trailer. And some say the reason it was done is because the trailer, there was aboard a trailer that one of them, either the trailer or the boat wasn't licensed, or the boat was the jet ski was licensed, but the trailer wasn't licensed. Now, this is the DLNR, and they give people tickets, you know, for no license on trailers. And I actually have a couple of pictures that shows no trailers on the license plate. But when it's of no real concern now. The cat's out of the bag. And we know now that all that they were wanting to do in this matter, they being Farrell and Suzanne Case and Dan Dennison, is to cover this up because it would be, quote, bad press. So what did they do? They engage in bringing Kalana and Keone Downing, the land manager, and others, and then putting them into the fold, into the mix, when they were just, I have to say, I believe they were innocently acting. They had no knowledge of Patrick Chung Tim even registering the business in the same name. Kyle Lunn is not a thief. He's not a crook, and none of his other people that associate with him. I mean, if the state representative tell you can do a certain thing, why would you object to it when you don't think that guy's going to tell you to do something illegal? I give them the benefit of the doubt. But Keone Downing, land board member, his behavior is rather wanting. Something's wrong there. And so if they're going to get a permit and what have you, this matter should have gone before the land board, as serious as it was, because it was some very serious violations. But then would Downing recuse himself? Or forget recusal, why don't he just resign? But that's the way things roll. And we've tried to phone Downing. We've had other people to reach out to him and contact him, and he blew us off. No response. But he was quick to show up in a press release designed and orchestrated by Dan Dennison and Robert Farrell and Suzanne Case to try and quash the pursuit of the public's pursuit of this matter, trying to figure out what was going on. So would you think of any appropriate, if we would request a verify email, they wanting to verify the emails that was sent. And we're going to ask for those emails, by the way, between the DLNR, and we'll see how the Attorney General Deputy steps in. Weinhoff, he seemed to have a growl and a bite. You would think he would welcome our investigative efforts and just be receptive, but instead we're finding attorney-client behavior to the extreme. We're not releasing that. We're not releasing that. And then these matters just die along on the vine. So something's wrong there. You know, I know you're supposed to represent the agency and what have you, but when the truth presents itself and there are concerns of malpractice or malfeasance or behavior that warrants an investigation and no investigation has taken place, and then you growl at the public, then I have to question, is that abuse of authority or power at your position as a deputy attorney general? But we don't know. We do know that what we're reporting is factual. We know that much. And according to these emails, it confirmed. So this is what the FOIA also revealed, another email. I met with the blank on the Wednesday after you stopped by, and I walked the building and discussed the need for DLNR iWaterman to be in building 1623. He gave his approval and asked that I pass on that we should proceed with the use on the DLNR as a partnering agency. Please contact me via text to discuss. And then this is where it gets corny. You see, and this is some of these civilian actors that work for the federal government and state government. Here's what happens. They get blinded by the badge. They want to be, they get giddy when the badge come around. So here's one. Aloha, B6. It was awesome meeting you today and finding out that you're the person that I have sought out for the last 2 years, LOL. I'm also impressed to place you with our Marine program here at Waterfront Operations. Now, this is to Mr. Robert Farrell? He's awesome meeting you, you see? No. It's a shame that you have people would behave like this and compromise a relationship between the two agencies and compromise the security of the base and all of those things and violate the law. We need to talk. Get your crap out of here. But instead, see, it's just a citizen, Carol Cox, who in the media, who's just asking questions. So run ahead. We got this one. We'll take care of this, brother. That's the mindset. And this is the same man that's going to clean up Hawaii, going to reinvent the Department of Land and Natural Resources. But when caught red-handed, he takes no action against his people. Those that he like, or those that he has brought into the fold that will help him accomplish what devious behavior that he plans on doing, such as hiring his former boss to run an academy and to help establish an academy without going through the necessary procurement, state procurement rules, by going and juggling those things and mixing them. And we're going to talk about that in the next hour as a continuation. And we have the emails, and we will be reading them to you, hopefully. So this is what happens, ladies and gentlemen. As we discuss, I'm pushing out this brief email to continue discussion over placing DLNR iWaterman Pacific at the partially abandoned building on the deck of waterfront operations. Now, DLNR/iWaterman Pacific, that's owned by Patrick Chung Tim. So my question is, if you are the military and you're going to give an agreement and grant iWaterman Pacific, then is Patrick Chung Tim using his authority or benefiting his authority by having and getting a contract, getting a lease while conducting state business? So currently the deck of waterfront operation, building 160, I think, is exactly what we need to house approximately 6 to 10 skis and equipment to facilitate our risk, right? Our risk technician course to all of our branches in the middle of the military. Currently, we conduct our advanced course of Marine Corps 4th Recon Waterfront Operations Search and Rescue, Marine Corps Safety, Naval, and other partnering countries, it says. The building currently has no power and broken water. We will be utilizing half of the space to accommodate our needs. I will discuss the use of detail in a later time for your convenience. So, but again now, this is guys redacted it, the name of the people and all. And this is the military. I won't hold that against them. When they see you out at the bar, they want to talk to you. And, yeah, we're all a big family. But why would you redact? And, I mean, I can appeal this, but it satisfies me with the information that we have. You know, and so this is the way it goes. Forwarding this message, interesting, somewhat concerning. And so, again, it is clear that Patrick Chung Tim was behaving in a way that should have raised the eyebrows of many of people and the curiosity and some action taken to punish such behavior, or at least hold him accountable, or a letter of reprimand or something. But instead, be quiet, get him away from the scene for a while, take the vessels down to Sand Island, and finish the training course there. And by the way, we did get letters from the Honolulu Fire Department and the Maui Fire Department, the chiefs, who acknowledged that, yes, they did pay money for this commercials. So if you're out there and you're thinking that, well, maybe we don't have any proof, we do have the proof, all the proof that it was commercial activity. And so this is something that is very painful, just seeing it unfold and understanding there are people that should be enforcing the law, upholding the law, and not be manipulating and snaking around to put their wallet in the picture and so they can make some money on the government's back. I don't think that is right. I really don't believe that. So that's the long and short of that. It's I don't know why and how, but again, we got a few more minutes in this hour, and you are listening to Talk808.com, the Carol Cox Show, live streaming from our studio in Mililani, Hawaii. So, again, carol@carolcox.com is the email, or 782-6627. That's an 808 area code. But we're going to take up where we left off later on here in the next hour bit, and we'll be rather brief about staying away for a while on our break. Here is from Michael Carrion. Michael Carrion is Mr. Michael Carrion is a former chief of law enforcement in the Department of Fish and Game, California Fish and Game. And it's to Denise Antolini. Now, again, how does Denise Antolini get involved with the DLNR matters of selecting and building an academy and being so intimate? Oh, no. I'm working on February 27th. What is a projected next visit date for Mike? Remind me. Next on camera is Luna and Mike. So they're doing a video, putting a video together or something to try and... This is before the Academy is funded. There was some several hundred thousand dollars up in the air waiting to be donated and funded from the State Senate or the State House or... It's really not clear, but it was going to take our money. And it looks like, Luna sent it. It looks awesome. And you and Chief Farrell were looking good. And then there's Eric. Hi, Eric, Mike. Chief may have already fought, but just in case, our academy project made the news, Denise Antolini writes. DLNR, headlines, DLR wants a training academy to solve staffing shortages, increase enforcement. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't need to get more officers if, in fact, we can sit by and watch them operate illegally, those that are on board, operate illegally without any impunity, without any responsibility, without any punishment. Why do we need to add more fuel to the fire, so to speak, this fire that's burning uncontrollably? So we're going through here. Very cool, Ronette Kawakami writes to Denise Antolini. Denise Antolini is Dr. Denise Antolini, affiliated with the deputy dean, assistant dean of Richard School of Law. Now, why on earth would the person at Richard School of Law be involved into this intimately with DLNR and setting up an academy and talking outside of the realm when, in fact, this is official business by the state? This is something that Robert Farrell wants and Suzanne Case wants. So why on earth is Denise Antolini so intimately involved in this? And we're going to explore that and find out. So... On Wednesday, January 10, 2018, David Foreman wrote this. They're back and forth. Can you post on ELP website as an RA to do a story on this grant? This is to David Foreman from Denise Antolini. I'm just going to read this. Very cool, important, so important. And... DoCare Academy, regarding DoCare Academy fellow projections. Got it. Thanks, Robert. This is Eric Cole of Castle Foundation writing Robert Farrell. Now, why is Robert Farrell receiving direct emails from Eric Cole, a nonprofit entity, Castle Foundation, who's donating money, who might have some concerns or interests one day, or developing, or who knows what they want to do, but... why are they so intimate with Denise Antolini, Robert Farrell, Mike Carrion, and others? So Eric Cole is Senior Program Officer for Ocean Resiliency at the Harold K.L. Foundation, Castle Foundation. Thanks, Denise. Another email. The $500K proposal is still alive, but it will need continued support to make it out of both the House and Senate. Thanks, Denise. from Eric Cole. Proceedings, as you laid out, looks good to me. Robert, not so sure if I follow you. Does that mean you will not receive $500K increase in base budget for the Academy? So we'll hold that thought, and we'll be back. This is the Carol Cox Show on Talk808.com. We'll be back here shortly. So hold your horses, and thank you for listening. Okay, welcome back to 808. This is the Carol Cox Show, and go to carolcox.com if you want to listen to the podcast later, or go to talk808.com to catch us live stream. But we'll be posting in many of the shows up, and we will be hosting others, individuals who have the desire to do shows or what have you. This is actually an actual station that we have built on the internet. And so feel free, if you are interested, give us a call. We can see if we can set you up. All righty. We'll take up where we left off. And I do apologize. I'm reading through 536 emails or more that we recovered from the University of Hawaii through Dr. Denise Santolini and her in our request for information. This was also sent to the media, and so we requested a copy as well. And so this is emails between Eric Cole, Robert Farrell, Denise Santolini, Dr. Denise Santolini, and others. And Eric Cole, as I said, is with the Castle Foundation, or H.L. Castle Foundation. And Robert Farrell is a DLNR, a Department of Land and Natural Resources. And Mike Carrion is a former chief of law enforcement, chief of Department of Fish and Game in California, and the former boss of Robert Farrell. And so we want to know what's going on in this building, this academy. We got earlier, we talked about the reading of the meeting. So, hi, Denise. This is written, Robert Farrell wrote, I guess. Hi, Denise. Sounds good. The finance piece seems to be moving fairly well in the Senate, but not as well in the House. The Senate bill for Academy funding crossed over, but the House bill was not even heard, parenthesis, Yamani, which is State Representative Ryan Yamani. So we still need support for our Academy funding. Now, mind you, when I inquired, everyone said, well, this is not a state matter. This is monies coming from Castle Foundation is going to donate it as private funding. So that's why Denise is handling this. But if Robert Farrell is in the midst of it and telling Denise doesn't know what he needs, Suzanne Case and Robert Farrell knows what they need. So where do you think they're getting the idea from? Well, he wants to build the academy to cleanse our agency of all of the rotten cops that are involved, supposedly. And yet he's behind. Why didn't he do it through the proper procurement process? Why not have it above board? Why not? Why are these private emails that he is having conversation with the school, Richard School of Law personnel, or UH Foundation. But again, Denise writes to Dear Risa, Robert, Edric, and David. Good news update. Bubble chart revising from David attached. Revised from David. With Pam's help, we have explored the issue of surplus money available. That is, how we can redirect current NOAA funds a bit to supplement the Castle support for the 0.5 FTE law enforcement fellow for the Academy. This extended budget and time frame will make the position much more attractive to a recent graduate. If we pour over the remaining NOAA funds that John Misha left on the table into the DoCare 2 Academy 0.5, from Castle, we end up with 9.366 months instead of 6.5 FTE, or instead of 6, or 0.5 FTE, depending on the fringe ones, once the position is filled. This could stretch even more. The focus of this fellowship will be Academy helping Chief Mike Luna on the stand-up issues and curriculum. 2, Hawaii Environmental Court, Neighbor Island. How does this sound? So if okay with everyone, I will proceed with getting the posting for 1.0 FTE at 9 months through the RCUH system, which is truly glacial, but we just have to start. Any comments or questions, let me know, Pam. And then this is written by Denise. Thanks, Denise. I'll be in Brazil again Sunday, March 11th, Thursday, 28th. And I do apologize. I'm trying to read these and move my fingers back and forth. It's a little wider than I had anticipated on my iPad here. But here's one from Pamela Tara, and we don't know who she's from, but subject, Don't Care Two Fellow Projects. Hi, Denise. Please see below the funding projection for DoCare 2 Fellow at 1.0 FTE. The fringe rate will dictate the true period of funding. I budgeted a 33% fringe rate for the leftover CRWG funds, and the DoCare 2 budget budgeted the fringe rate of 40%. Misha's fringe was around 12%. Now, I don't understand any or much of this, so I would give you a comment, but I don't. So if you, we're going to try and post this up and let you read it yourself. And this speaks to the claim by many, and we've shown this in earlier shows, that the Department of Land and Natural Resources under David Ige has gone to the birds. It's run by private organizations who've gotten their hands in the official business and procurement, and deviating and steering and being creative. And these things are fine, but if you got to go to that length to be creative and creative financing, it reminds me of the guys that went in with the balloon payments on the houses. You get the house for a while and you get to enjoy it, but come time of payment, what about the next academy? What about funding it? You got to go back through and manipulate and hook and crook. Or so you're building on false pretenses, in my opinion. So this is from Denise Antolini again. Risa Gooden. Okay, we've read that one. Let's see here. Hi, Denise. This is from Pamela again. Don't care, two fellow, too. We've read that. And now, mind you, much of these are repetitive, where they would write an email and send it out, and then someone said, well, write back, I got it. So in requesting these documents, this is how you sometimes you're overwhelmed with very repetitious or repetitive documents. So repeats. Eric Cole writes, thanks, Robert. Denise, does a phone call for starters Tuesday afternoon work for you? Cheers, Eric. Now, again, private person in the – I'm not available the 28th. I'll be off island starting the 26th. I can meet this Thursday or Friday, the afternoon of or MT, or of next week. So this is from Robert Farrell. Let me know if any of those dates work for you. I'm not sure about needing legislative approval for starting an academy. We currently have a CREO, Conservation Resource Enforcement Officer, one position on the books. It's just a matter of reclassification of CREO 2 position, which is internal. More funding is always better, but those positions are allocated both personnel costs, salary benefits, and OE. That may be enough to cover the cost of the academy. We can prepare a bill to authorize funding to mitigate the staffing shortage in DoCare. It would probably get support, but I think we should assume that we wouldn't get funding and have a plan to run the academy with existing resources. I look forward to working with you, working this out, and I am very appreciative of your support. Now, I am not objecting to an academy. Academies is a place where at least you have some kind of annual refresher courses or something. You need to update the officers and the personnel on various techniques of laws of arrest and search and seizure, court case, all kinds of things. So, you know, and I'm for that. Aloha, Robert. Eric Cole writes, I just spoke with Denise, and she's as enthusiastic as I am wanting to support the establishing DoCare. And again, so perhaps the next step in trying to find time when the three of us can sit down and get the gory details. How does Friday, April 28th? So again, I read you the early email. Spoke to my prospective consultant. Now, here's one here. Robert Farrell is writing to Eric Cole, the private business person affiliated with Castle Foundation. Aloha, Eric. Spoke to my prospective consultant in California. Prospective consultant in California now. And he is game to help. His credentials are pretty impressive. He is the former retired chief of California, Fish and Game, and has started several academies from the group from the ground up. He was planning on moving over with his wife anyway, so this is a great opportunity for him as well. Mike Herrion is his name. You can Google him. And the best part is he was the one that promoted me to assistant chief. Now, that's a good reason to hire anybody or give anyone a contract with state money or monies that, and I got to be careful because, you see, well, they're saying they're getting grants from someone and knows money, and they claim that, no, it's not state money. But the bottom line is that they've identified a person, a consultant, Mike Herrion, Robert Farrell's earlier boss, who named Robert Farrell and promoted Robert Farrell. So I guess I'm going to go out and say that this is a payback. Where is the procurement process? What are the status, the conditions, or the qualifications? What are the RFPs? Where is it? But instead, because it's going through the Richard School of Law or the UH Foundation or the Castle Foundation, Robert Farrell then thinks that he has divested himself of the responsibility of the procurement. Now, he might be right, and I might be dead wrong, but the problem is it's still state matters. And how then can the Castle Foundation be so intimate with our business and the Richard School of Law? And I would think that somewhere down the line that instead of calling it an environmental court, based on all of this background noise that I see and hear and read, we'll call it the kangaroo court. Because if they're that intimate, how can you be involved in building an academy and training the guys, and then in turn they go out and arrest someone, and then you hop and put your judge's seat uniform on or your gown on and hear the case? Do you think you're likely to be, if the officer went through your academy and brought you a case, would you think that there's a taint that it might be influential on your decision, or will you weigh the facts? So I'm very concerned as to what has transpired here and what is going on. Let me follow through here. So Robert Farrell has been quite active and prolific in writing. I'm not available, but I'll be, I'm not sure. Let's see, I just spoke with Denise, and she's, again, these are repetitive emails, and we didn't want to waste paper and print off 530 pages, so we'll just struggle with, we're in no hurry. We'll struggle with reading through, finding some of them. And basically, to give you an idea, we will post this entire packet up on carolcox.com, and so you'll be able to see that in PDF format. So let me get on to the my perspective consultant. And I do apologize, but that's, again, the only way of saving paper. We don't want to be printing off, making more paper and burning more trees. So we just do what we can. Open recruitment. Here is April 25th, 2017. So you see, David Ige, this is David Ige, governor. Open recruitment underway for state resources conservation officers. Now, they've worked behind the scenes and gotten it all together. Why didn't other nonprofits get involved? I have a law enforcement background. I have a conservation background. Why wasn't we allowed to participate or given time to openly and be transparent and participate? Wouldn't it have been better to open it up to the general public? Because that way you probably would come out with a better product. But instead, only a chosen few. So it sounds like the kangaroo court, I'm sorry, the environmental court is just that now. DLNR, Division of Conservation Resource Enforcement, the recruiting candidate is recruiting to fill approximately 25 positions for Conservation Resource Enforcement Officers, CO, Creole 2, Creole 3, and Creole 4. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. First of all, you've heard me use the term racism, and it is very prevalent here in Hawaii, and we see its vestiges right here, the stench of it right here. Everyone can't be CREO2. Why is it elevated to CREO2? There are officers, there are young policemen that would love to have the job, but the conditions have been set so high. But Robert Farrell has the intentions of bringing people from California who's already have law enforcement background in conservation, who already meets those conditions. And so it was tailored to satisfy, and the requirements were falsified or falsely set, arbitrarily set, I should say, to accompany or accommodate this new regime of people that he would be bringing in from California. That's why you create the CREO 2 and 3, so that it won't be reachable. And there are a lot of people that may be going to college and learn biology and want to be a law enforcement officer, conservation officer. But the goal has been set so high arbitrarily, with the specific intent of bringing in and hiring his old friends, and it's clear that that's what is happening. DOCARE Enforcement Chief Robert Farrell said, "We're recruiting for field to supervisory position on all islands and encourage men and women already working in law enforcement to visit the state jobs website to learn more about these positions. We feel being a DOCARE officer is one of the best jobs available in the field, as it combines law enforcement skills with passion for protection of our natural and cultural resources." Nothing wrong with that statement. The CREO2 position description includes, but not limited to, and it goes on to explain that this is an advanced trainee level in the series. He or she receives advanced training in conservation law enforcement and management activities, participates in enforcement of laws and rules and regulations relating to the protection, conservation, and utilization of fish and wildlife and forest reserves, parks and historic sites, natural areas, reserves, and public lands and waters, and other pertinent resources, performs public informational activities. Anyway, that's what was written by Farrell. Denise Antolini writes, "I'm very happy, dear Robert and Eric, I'm very happy to lend any capacity I can from the law school side to this great effort." Nothing wrong with that. But why is it behind the scenes? Why is it closed doors? And who on earth would call a person a... Why would anyone call a person and go behind the scenes and take the money And you and I are not familiar with it, and you got to by hook and crook. What if those people leave, move on, that design this? Where are we left? We have makeshift and then another failure in design. I'm also free to meet, talk between 1 to 3 this Thursday. I can come to DoCare office to meet if that is more convenient. Robert, quick update. We're posting the DoCare. Robert is posting it. We're posting the DoCare fellow law fellowship via RCUH this week, subject to funding and approval by Castle. I will run the ad for 3 weeks, then would like screen applications by email and schedule the interviews at DoCare conference room. I propose that the selection committee be you, David Sakota, myself, and any other person you wish to join in, K-Core, Bruce, on these dates. And this is from Denise Antolini to Robert Farrell and Eric Cole. Can you check and hold those times? Also, please double confirm your schedule of June 23rd, environmental court judges training at the court. Rough agenda attached. Eric, thought you might like to see this agenda as well. Please do not share. I would like to meet with you to prepare for training and to discuss all the many other matters related to the DoCare Law Enforcement Fellowship. Once we connect, we can get a good date and time for that discussion. So this is from Denise Antolini. I had the chance to catch up with Denise today. Robert is written by Eric Cole. The Academy concept, and I'm hoping to do the same with you. I saw the press release from last week, and I am excited to see you forge ahead. Might you have time for a quick call Thursday to check in with where we are? I'm free anytime, 11 and 3 that day. I know Denise means to catch up with you soon on a few fronts. So I would be good. It would be good for you to close the loops so we're all on the same page to move this forward. Now, where are the legislators at in this? They're going to go to the legislators like they've done before on the community fisheries enforcement units on Maui and other places and ask for money and ask for funding for the officers. So why aren't the legislators involved now? Why is it this is just backdoor dealing. I'm in California. Hi, Denise. Robert Farrell on May 2nd, 2017. I'm in California till Monday, so I won't be able to meet Thursday. Let me know your availability next week, and I'll adjust my schedule. Sounds great on the Law Fellow Progress. I really miss John already. I have the 23rd blocked off. Okay. We're going past that. I had the chance to catch up with Denise today, Academy Concept. That's Eric Cole. But again, I'm a little bothered that a nonprofit organization has so much say and dictate in state affairs. It's not a problem to be consulted, but we're talking about multifaceted compromises here, conflict that it appears. One, you're hiring people that were your boss, and that would be one of the qualifications, or you wouldn't have mentioned it. And then secondly, the real qualifications in one of these emails, it finally discloses really not qualified per se as they started off with qualifications. So they had to rewrite it and redivert and divert and come up with some creative way of doing it by hiring through the foundation. Or because he was a non-taxidermist. Early on, they said, oh, go to the website. He started several academies. But, again, where is the RFP? Where is the request for proposal? That's what the RFP is. And where is the language? What are they looking for? So I'm just trying to get to... But the Castle Foundation is, for my sake and my interest, I think they were a bit too intimate, bosom buddies. And I don't believe that that is going to serve up well for anybody, us or them. Especially when, what if they were engaging in some behavior that was a violation or our influence? Are they just doing... Giving the money, just give the money and wish them well and offer some. But this intimacy that we see in these emails is very troublesome. And I say troublesome because I've spoken with a number of fishermen and hunters and others that are not involved in this process and not have been invited in this process. They are uneasy with that. They don't believe it. Going to work out and to their benefit or consider their interests and factor those interests in the long run. So, you know, it's kind of reminds me of my emails. You have a thread of them and they just keep repeating themselves. So this is going to be the long and boring show. And yes, boy, do we all miss John and say, okay, I'm in California. I had actually blocked these off for specific comments, and for some reason the format changes on the iPad. But we'll get there. And they're really... But the... Thank you for the opportunity. I will have, okay. Michael Carrion wrote on May 10th, thank you for the opportunity. I will have a resume out later today. On May 9th, Robert Farrell wrote, hey, Mike, thanks for the chat today. Here are the other folks, Denise and Eric, who were on the call. Looking forward to this. Mahalo, this is Robert Farrell. I have attached a current resume and a statement of qualifications from the past to give you more information on my background. I look forward to working with you all. I mean, I thought this was a consultant, and I thought this, shouldn't this have gone through the procurement and or something, or whether RFP or something? I don't know. My current resume, 2017... Hey, Mike, thanks for the... Okay, we're getting there. Aloha, everyone. This is from Robert Farrell. I took a quick stab at the very preliminary document with some suggestive deliverables. It is very general and hoping that we might be able to use it as a starting point. So please fill in whatever you think is appropriate and we can start to build a game plan. And I understand that there are some allegations that much of this thing that he wrote up, a lot of it come from the various, the HPD's office. Incoming, $170,000 Castle grant for DoCare Academy. And this is from Denise Antolini. Dear Avi, Wes, Pam, and FYI to Julie and David, I need your help in figuring out the best options for structuring a significant incoming grant from Castle. At its board meetings next week, our dear friend Eric Cole and Castle Foundation would like to pre-approve a grant to the law school of approximately $170,000 for two related projects and will greatly improve DoCare's natural resource enforcement capacity. I would like to get some indication back to Eric tomorrow regarding feasibility of running this project through the law school, which is his strong preference. He not only likes us a lot, but it makes it easier for him to combine these projects into one grant, and this is a perfect fit with our first DoCare law enforcement fellow position, which is half funded by Castle and RCUH. via RCUH. So if you wanted to know where all this money, as some of the fishermen have said, oh, Castle is giving money and influencing policy and what have you, and then they would say to them, well, you're just paranoid. There's no such thing as happening. Well, here you are. Docare Law Enforcement. So this letter goes on, assistant consultant. The second Docare Law assists the consultant with establishing Docare Officer Training Academy. The law fellow will research, analyze existing Hawaii officer academies to determine areas of collaboration, assist in location of a host site of academy, likely a community college, Chaminade type, develop curriculum. And that's okay. I'm a beneficiary or a product of one of those academies back early on in the 80s. I went to Antioch College with Mike Carrion, in fact, in the academy, police academy, that they're at Pittsburgh, Antioch area. And a little challenge to set up by quite an opportunity, but again, these emails I will place online so you can see, and then you draw your own conclusion. Now, independent contractors. To be considered an independent contractor, all of the following conditions, ABC tests, must be met. A, individual must be free from control or direction, and B, service must be performed outside the usual course of business or place of business, and C, individual must be customarily engaged in an independent occupation, trade, profession, or business of the same nature as that involved in the contract of service. Service performed by an independent contractor is not covered under the unemployment insurance law and is not considered employment. Because before excluding workers as independent contractors, employers should contact the employer service section addressed on page 2, page II, and request a determination. Failure to do so may result in an assessment of delinquent contributions, penalty, and interest from retroactive coverage. So let me know if you have any questions. This is, again, let me know if you have any questions and if we can proceed on this basis. If anyone prefers the, quote, employee model, then we will have to solve issues such as the limited time for casual hires, 89 days of full time, which can be stretched to part-time. Things start to get complicated, but it's not impossible. All things are possible. I just saw Robert's proposed scope. I'll look at it as soon as possible. Thank you for including the law school as a key partner in this innovative project that will greatly enhance DoCare's capacity for the long term. And I have, again, goes back to the resume that's submitted by Mr. McCarrion. Mike's Gmail to Denise, Mike Carrion. I read the document and I agree that the independent contractor, quote, makes the most sense. If I meet Section C as a retired professional from the field, it should work for my side, from my side. Thank you. Aloha, Mike, and thank you for the great brainstorming meeting yesterday. Thank you for a resume statement of qualification. In checking with our fiscal office today, it looks feasible for law school to take the grant for the fellowship and consultancy. Fiscal suggests that it would be way easier for Mike to be an independent contractor from the law school would hire via grant, RCUH, rather than an employee. I agree. So if he's a consultant, again, when did it go out for proposal? That means we need to be sure Mike meets the qualifications under Hawaii labor law to be independent contractor. Then we will need 3 written quotes to meet procurement requirements. So Mike plus 2 similar consultants for the same scope of work. I'm getting some samples to share, but I think it can be fairly informal quote, but on letterhead from legitimate competitors for this line of work. Mike, see this info from Hawaii Department of Labor. To be considered independent, and we read that. But again, look at what's going on here. Now, it starts off as a consultant, contractor, but no RFPs, and it's state matter, state monies. They gave it to the Richard School of Law. I guess they thought that would exempt them, and maybe it does, to my ignorance, I don't know, but the matter that it's being spent on is state matters. So, let's go on here. I have, this is from Mike Carrion. If condition C of the labor law requires current employment in an associated field, I am currently on staff at California Department of Fish and Wildlife Academy as an instructor for one class per year. Will I need to submit a written quote for this position? Thank you. Mike Robert, thank you for the great brainstorming yesterday. Mike, thank you for your, I'm checking the fiscal, okay. Let me know if you have any questions. We've gotten that have, again, these are threads. So one might write, okay, I got it, thank you. And there are other, maybe, thanks for your, hi Mike. Thanks for your reply. Quick response. Condition C, I agree that's good affiliation have suffices and suffices, I think. Yes, you will need to submit a written quote at some point, but also, as importantly, we need your recommendations about other comparable consultants who can submit a credible quote so we end up with three quotes possible. Now, why on earth, and I'm going to plead my ignorance, why on earth would you be asking Mike Carrion, a potential consultant, contractor, to submit a written quote at some point, but also, as importantly, we need your recommendations about other comparable consultants who can submit a credible quote. So we end up with three quotes. Why would he be naming anyone? Why don't they put out an RFP and advertise it openly, and then they wouldn't be required to have Mike going out and getting people that are comparable to that? I don't know. Aloha, I have two things to bring up. If condition C is labor laws require current employment in an associated field, I'm currently on staff. We read that one. But again, something's wrong here, folks. And to see the people that lend themselves to this behavior, and it gets a little even more shaky and queasy. The allowance for shenanigans. And we're talking about people at the School of Law, and Dr. Antoline is a fine person, well known, quite aggressive in, on the environmental and protecting it. But why would they even engage or lend themselves to this? Is it because they are the environmentalists, love Suzanne Case, and so they now think that with the little money from Castle Foundation and all that, they are entitled to a secret participation and manipulation or to accomplish their set goals? What is going on? When does the civil service issues become of concern? When does that happen? So I don't know. So, Mike, thank you for your resume and statement of qualification. In checking with the fiscal office today, it looks feasible the law school to take the grant for the fellowship consultancy. Fiscal suggested it would be way easier for Mike to be an independent contractor whom the School of Law and the UH agree with. So, again, I read that and I ask, why are they allowing him to submit this thing? Eric Cole, I have an answer about funding this by next week, Friday. So unless there are reservations on either UH or DLNR end, I see they told me DLNR wasn't involved in this. This was all had to do with the Richard School of Law, Denise Santolini, and Eric Cole of Castle Foundation. But the DLNR didn't have any say in the matter and the funding. So here, thanks for your reply. Quick response. Condition C, I agree that it's a good affiliation to have and suffice. Yes, you will need to submit a written quote at some point, but also importantly. And then another question is, do you have and can you get some business license for Hawaii GET and a consultancy firm or LLC set up? If he's already doing this business and it said he must be doing this business, why on earth would they be telling him, asking him, can he get this information? He's supposed to already be a consultant. He's supposed to already working in the field. If he's working in the field as a consultant, you would assume he has a business name. But no, they want him to get a name here. And are you consulting for any other projects? That's helpful indication that you are an independent contractor in case, you see. So, dear all, Pamela writes some questions here. Yes, the fringe rate is, okay, that's regarding the funding. Ladies and gentlemen, this is, again, crazy. But I just think for those that are interested, it will be a struggle to listen to this and having some patience. But those that are concerned with what's going on and having private industry and for nonprofits running DLNR and having a major influence, and we've wrote about this before, written about it, and exposing various examples. But that's what's happening. So this is just crazy. Aloha, Denise Risa. Please see the attached revised proposal combining the law, both law school and SSR submittals. Yeah. Okay, we're going to – no RTF doesn't apply – yeah, they did some manipulations here. Genius. Hi, Denise. Eric Cole, delayed response. I spoke to our grant manager about this today, and it turns out that it would require new submission through our two-stage process as before. Once you submit the letter of inquiry, you'll be assigned a new discrete project number. That's the bad news. The good news is that an effort to expedite this and make it easier on you. After you've input the relevant organization and contact information. That's Eric Colwood. Aloha, Denise. This is Keikoa, Edward Keikoa was a deputy of Hawaii DLNR, Department of Land and Natural Resources. Wanted to check in if you need any help with the proposal to submit to CASEL. Also got this email from Chief regarding his review of the DoCare Academy proposal for CASEL. He is super supportive and let me know a big part of my role will be developing the relationship with the community colleges to house the curriculum. Let me know if you need any assistance submitting the proposal, if you already have or did some awesome, Luna. Okay, please see attached. Denise was in discussion with Eric Cole provided. So they've already handpicked their own people. And I just thought it was important for those that are so often concerned about matters being handled privately rather than formally and transparently, to the public. Well, it's August 15th. I will be leaving for Africa. Okay, well, by the way, do you think it will get it advertised? Okay. Aloha, Pamela. I was just following up on what I sent you last week. First, I wanted to be sure you received it. If so, is there anything else you need? Was it sufficient? Please let me know. Hi, Denise. Sorry for the delayed response. I spoke to our grants manager about the project today, and it turns out that this will require a new submission. Anyway, sorry for the delayed response, and this is a slow process. Scrolling through these, emails are going to go blind here after a while. Okay. Michael Carey. Well, it's August 15th. I was leaving for Africa. Just wanted to make sure I won't be falling into any abyss where things happen as soon as I leave. Any chance of the application coming out by Friday? Thank you. Sorry for the late reply. I can try target August. By the way, do you think it would be advertised before I leave for Africa? Mike is writing. Okay. Hi, Mike. Glad to hear from you. Coincidentally, I was able to post a position today. Please click on this link. The position should come up. Please let me know if you encounter any problems. Well, it's August 15th, and Mike is on his way to Africa during this period of time, I guess, to really do the work that he really was doing instead of consulting as a taxidermist. So, but anyway, this has been a struggle and might be a bit amateurish, but wanting to go through and read these and dare not to try and make copies of them. I'd probably kill 50 trees just printing these emails off. So we just struggle and say this is a heck of a test run. Okay, Michael Karen, right. Okay, well, first of all, this is half of the salary we agreed upon. Second, when I filled out the information, it says I do not meet the requirements. Since I'm retired, I'm not sure what they want. Are you available for a call? Now I'm getting down to the nitty-gritty, you see. He ain't qualified, they say. But yet, Robert Farrell got him up there and nominated him as a contractor. And he's going to lead these poor, illegal operators and call themselves do-care officers, and he's going to clean them and show them the light. Robert Farrell is, but he lends himself, Robert Farrell that is, to all kinds of backdoor dealing. And it might be legitimate, but folks, when you're taking public matter and running out back and into the woodshed and hanging out with your buddies and whispering and figuring it out and then coming back and then say, here it is, take it or leave it. That doesn't sound like an honest person. Sounds like a selfish person that is simply hell-bent on being dictator and setting up his own fiefdom or a little kingdom. So it is what it is, and there's the boat out there, the Windward Warrior, where the man claims that Wendell Cam had him arrested, transported, face down on the boat, made him urinate on himself, and yet Robert Farrell now has placed Guy Chang on suspension or removed him and threatened to fire him because Robert Farrell didn't agree with Guy Chang's assessment that the officer that is accused of putting his feet on the back of a man and kicking him and cursing him and transporting him and seizing the boat illegally was given a ROPA, relieved of his police authorities. So there's a lot to be had, and also Jason Redullo went and called Robert Cam and told him that the case was closed, and then we don't really know where the status of that civil rights violation that is alleged by Wendell Cam. But they wanted to investigate it themselves. They wanted to investigate themselves. How about that? So, you know, something is wrong in Denmark with the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And we'll get over it, but this academy and the sneaking attack on it and how to set it up, and something's wrong there. So we'll keep watching, and next week, and I'm going to be broadcasting through the week as well, because it's the joy of having this convenience now, and we'll be more timely, and more than likely we'll do it around from 7 o'clock to 9, and we're just going to try to experiment and be all over the place, so to speak. But we got a software that we're looking at that allow us to allow you to have a show in from your computer, wherever you're located, with good quality sound, and you wouldn't have to go into a studio. You could do it from that 400-pound man sitting in the bedroom could do it, as Mr. Trump say. But thank you for joining me, and I do apologize for the long-winded, disjointed, unprofessional approach to getting these emails out, but that's the way it is here. We're not trying to pretend that we are somebody. We're just trying to make sense of this massive misinformation, massive disrespect for the public's right to know and the protection of the public's interest and the failure to protect that interest. So thank you for joining me, and I appreciate you listening. This is Carol Cox. Go to thecarolcox.com or talk808.com. And listen to us. Give me a call, 808-782-6627. Thank you. Aloha.